This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Right now, get up to 20% off select online storage solutions. Put heavy-duty HDX totes to good use, protecting what's important to you. The solid, impact-resistant design prevents cracking, and the clear base and sides make items easy to find, even when the totes are stacked. Find select online shelving and tote storage up to 20% off at the Home Depot to organize every room in your home, from your garage to your attic. Visit homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
We do this too, we're bringing that fire. Talking real talk, Kentucky's on fire. From bourbon to ball games, we got that flow. On the We Do This Too podcast, yeah, you know. From country roads to the city lights, they bring the heat, man, every night. We do this too, let's make it clear.
Welcome back, y'all. It's another edition of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast. And as always, we are presented to you in partnership with brands that we feel represent the very best of the outdoor industry. So before we get started, we'd like to give a special shout out to Moultrie Products, Uhler's Archery, Threads Custom Bowstrings, G5 Outdoors, Blackburn Apparel Company, Deer Pip Scents and Lures, Vision Clothing, Bluebird Waterfowl Company, Angry Chicken Outdoors, Alps Outdoors, and last but certainly not least, a special, special shout out to the good folks over at Briley's for leaving a legacy of shooting innovation. Whether you need new cameras to elevate the scouting experience, new arrows, or anything for your archery setups, clothing, scent, or whatever it may be, as a supporter of the podcast, you can use promo code WDTTPROMO, that's WDTTPROMO, for 15% off anything on the website at Uhler'sArchery.com. Some exclusions may apply. With that being said, let's dive into another episode of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast with your host, Mr. Courtney Williams.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another edition of the We Do This Too Outdoors podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Williamson. I've got a super special guest today, the CEO of C-Deer Camo Company, LLC, Mr. Jason Calvin, how you doing, brother?
Doing great. Glad to be here.
Yes, sir, man. Camouflage, in my experience, I love it. Bottomland has always been my favorite camo from the start, ever since I've been able to, you know, hunt. But, dude, yep. Your patterns that you have, I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. From the first time you sent me the mock-ups, I was like, this dude is, he's going somewhere. And I've always had trouble being a bigger guy. You know, I wasn't always this big. You know, when I graduated high school, I was like 185 pounds. You know, I'm like 320 now. But my dad's size finally, you know, I guess my dad's genes finally kicked in. My dad's always been a big guy. So it's always been a trouble for me once, you know, I started hunting, you know, for real, finding clothes that fit, you know, like camo. And you have, like, I think you go all the way up to what, a 6X or 5X or something like that?
5X right now. I mean, that was a big thing I noticed. I don't wear a 5X, but I'm not small either. So I'm in that 2X, 3X range, depending on the clothing. But a lot of companies don't make stuff for the bigger guys. So we wanted to make sure that if somebody wanted our camo, we could put them in it. So for sure. From small all the way up to 5X, we've got sizes to fit people.
Yeah, because I know I talk to a lot of guys, especially in the South, man. You know, it seems like some of the bigger guys out in the South, they're like, man, they just don't make clothes for us. You know, I had to go to Walmart or have to find, you know, clothes and make my own camo, or go to, you know, your local thrift shops and stuff like that and find that old, you know, Vietnam camo and stuff like that. He's like, they just don't make stuff for big guys, man. And I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day. I said, you need to check this guy out. I said, his website just went live. And I said, he goes all the way up to a 5X. And he's like, dude, I love his patterns. I said, he's got some great patterns. And I said, I'm about to have him on the podcast to talk about all this. So what actually inspired you to start your outdoor company?
So 20 years ago, around about, me and my best friend in the Army, we were hunting buddies. And we just had this crazy idea at this dinner table one day that we were going to start our own camo pattern. Obviously the pattern, what it was, not what it is today. It was Sea Deer was the name, but it was a pattern that looked like a cedar tree. So it was along the lines of your real tree or your mossy oak actually looking like something in the woods, except it was looking like a cedar tree. At that point, though, we didn't have the money and we didn't have the know-how, and you couldn't just Google it. So fast forward, I retired from the Army. My same buddy, he was in a better position, owned another business, and we actually started a hunting outfitter here in Kentucky first. And overdoing that for about 4 years, going to all the outdoor expos, we started seeing these camo companies pop up. We started seeing where profits in the industry are at, where there was room in the industry. And last July, I said, Dave, we had it right 20 years ago. We need to turn the page back and get this camo going. So after a lot of YouTube watching, a lot of studying, we figured out how to make our own pattern on Photoshop, which was a task in itself, lots of trial and error. And then from there, we started talking to manufacturers, Googling day in and day out, talking to them, finding who the best fit was going to be, both price-wise and to get the quality we wanted. And then we started the sampling process late fall, and here we are finally rolling products out.
Sounds good. That's awesome, man. So you kind of touched on it earlier when we first started talking, but what gap in the industry did you see in the market that you guys wanted to fill?
So the size thing was just an add-on. One of the big things There's very few companies out there that have a good layered system, in my opinion, that's using the right materials, and to where you don't have to buy 5 or 6 different jackets to hunt all winter. We've got some different options there, but generally speaking, depending on where you hunt, if you buy our layered system, you're going to be able to make it from late September, early October, all the way until it's going to get as cold as it's going to get. We've got some heavier stuff now out that's, if you're up north and we're hunting where it's real cold, you're going to want. But generally speaking, the price margin, like, we wanted to give that same quality as some of those big name brands, but make it a little more affordable. Not cheap, but affordable where your average hunter can still get in the gear.
Gotcha. Yeah, that was my problem, man, when I first, because I got into duck hunting about 3 years ago. And use deer hunting, I'm usually in a blind. I'm not a big tree stand guy. I'm actually going to try a saddle this year. A buddy of mine in Nashville designed for us, custom gear modification. Shout out to him. But I just never liked getting up in trees because I was bigger guy, scared of heights, you know, whatever. But duck hunting wise, I could not find anything to keep me warm. So I was like, man, I had to layer up, and I've got so many clothes on that when I'm like shouldering my shotgun, I just had too many layers on, and I'd get to sweating. And then if you get to sweating, man, and it's freezing outside, you're going to get cold, you know? Yep, So I was like, let me try Sitka. Everybody, you know, raves about this, but I did not want to spend, you know, all that money with the layered system and the jackets and this and this and this. It was just too much money for me. I mean, I've been looking for something that can keep me warm in the deer woods and in the duck woods. And it's that pattern, both those patterns that you have. Well, I think it's what you got, 3 patterns, right?
Yeah. So we've got 3, our initial rollout, we've just got the Ridgeline coming out initially for all of our gear as a whole, which is the shirt I have on now.
Yeah.
And then our super cold weather, our polar attack bibs and coat, we've got them in our plains pattern, which is a little darker, got less green in it. But the science behind the patterns, really, any of those patterns, they're gonna hide you about anywhere you go. Mind you, sitting still is still going to be your best camo. But we've used a macro pattern and put the micro pattern on top of it, which will really help break you up, which a lot of the camos on the market do now, like Sitka. But we tried our best when we put that pattern together to make something that was still appealing to the hunter's eyes also. Because like Mossy Oak Bottomlands, still one of my favorite patterns also of all time. But if you get up in a tree and you have somebody take a picture of you, you stick out like a sore thumb. You're just a big shadow up there. It doesn't really break your silhouette up, which is where all the micro patterns come in.
Gotcha. So what material do you use when it gets, you know, those late season, when it's, you know, 30 or less outside? Like what do you use to keep that hunter warm up in that tree stand or in that blind?
Gotcha. So our base layer is it's a mix. It's a polyester mixed with merino wool. It's going to fit tight on your body, but it's going to help wick that moisture off if you are sweating, especially if you got a long walk in. But it's still going to insulate you. So it's like 260 GSMs on the scale. And as it gets colder, our mid layer is actually a polar fleece material. So it's gonna start at that layer to start to stop that wind, but it's really going to insulate you, bringing it coming in at about 460 GSMs. And then on top of that is your carnivore jacket and pants, which is a polyester outer, which is water resistant, pretty dang close to waterproof, honestly. But with the carnivore layer, it's a straight 100% polyester outer that's quiet. It's durable. You're not going to be getting stuck with thorns wearing it. It's going to stand up to the weather, and it's got a micro fleece liner in it. So that's going to get you down there at like 30 degrees. You're going to be pretty comfortable. If it's colder than that or the wind's really ripping, we've got the down layer. A lot of people call it a puffy jacket. Ours has got goose down in it, but it's a polyester outer instead of the nylon outer. So it's not going to rip easy. It's not going to be noisy like a lot of puffy jackets out there. And we really beefed that thing up. It's not too bulky. I've shot my bow in it, but it's coming in around 1,000 GSMs. So it's really going to keep you insulated. The wind's not going to cut through it. It's almost 100% waterproof. So you're looking 15 degrees, you're sitting there comfortable. I mean, you're going to want to carry it in. You're not going to want to wear it in. You're going to be sweating, but once you get up to the tree or in the blind, you're going to be nice and toasty.
Heck yeah, man. That's what I like to hear, because I do not like to get cold. You know, my feet and my hands get cold. I'm ready to get out of there. I can pretty much stand the rest of my body being cold, but if my feet or my hands start getting cold, you know, I'm getting out of there. So I usually try to get some merino wool socks and layer up with some good boots and some good gloves and everything. And it seems like you got pretty much everything a hunter would need on the website to keep them warm, even in the early season. It looks like you got some early season stuff. What kind of early season stuff do you guys offer?
I've actually got on one of our Stalker long sleeve shirts right now. Our early season stuff's our Stalker series. Our pants are still a polyester, but they're a lightweight polyester. They breathe really well. We tested some stuff that was a little lighter weight even than that, but then we got into the problems of just not being durable when it came to walking through the woods. I mean, early season, there's still a lot of stuff out there that's green that's going to poke you when you're walking through the woods. So we wanted to find the right mix of going to keep you cool, but it's still going to protect you walking through the woods. So our Stalker pants are 100% polyester, breathable, like I said. And then shirt-wise, we've got the two options. We've got the crew neck Stalker thin weight, fits pretty tight to the body shirt. And then we also have the Stalker hooded shirt, which is a UPF material. It's a lot like a fishing shirt you might get to wear to protect you from the sun. It's also moisture wicking, except it's got a hood and a built-in face mask for when you get up in the tree, along with some thin UPF style gloves that are pretty comfortable. But early season, it's really gonna take care of you. And we've got it in the t-shirt option too for people who like the t-shirts.
Okay, that's awesome, man. So when you're about to, I guess, put out a new, say you're gonna put out a new jacket or a new vest or a new hat or whatever, can you walk us through like that design process that you go through when you're about to release it, or what you're looking for when you're about to release that?
Yep. So first was coming up with the patterns, obviously, which we have. So we're pretty set on our patterns right now. We're not trying to change them a lot, but it's the whole process from start to finish is going to be, I've got my pattern. I get with the manufacturer. I tell them what I'm looking for. They come back with different materials that they suggest also. They do a digital mock-up for us. I take that digital mock-up and I mark it all up. I draw where I want pockets on it, where I want arm vents on it, whether I want Velcro on the wrist straps or whatever I want. They draw it up, and then once I approve it, they're going to make me one. So I send them the sizes all in and the measurements. They put it together. Depending on the product, it might take a few weeks or a few months. And once I get it in the mail, we make sure it fits, obviously, and then we hit the woods with it. So every product that's came in, I've wore in the woods, in the rain, shot the bow with it, and just put it through the grinder to make sure that it was going to hold up and be high quality. From ripping on it, pulling on it, trying to bust seams, and anything that needs fixed. We have a Google Meets, a video meeting with the manufacturers. We go over what we want to change on that first prototype, from sizes to stitching to maybe even a whole different material on the next one. And then once we lock it down and we've got the product, that's when we put in the bulk order. And then we play the waiting game till they come in.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, I can't wait to get my hands on some of this, man, because I'm always down to try out new camos and anything that's gonna keep me warm. I'm down. So go ahead.
Bibs. We haven't put them on the website yet. We've just finalized them this last couple weeks, but those are like putting the furnace on, turning the furnace up in the house when it gets cold outside.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I had some bibs years ago that my wife got me, and I can't for the life of me think of what brand they were. But those things kept me super warm. And I'd happened to be rabbit hunting with my uncle one day, and I got him caught on a fence post, and some barbed wire fence, and they ripped them all to shreds. And I haven't been able to find those bibs anywhere, and I can't for the life of me. I don't think she remembers where she bought them at, but I was always the big bib guy, and then I was like, well, I can't find any bibs to keep me warm, so I'll just go with the pants and layer up everything else and be good. But I found the base layer is definitely the way to go to keep you warm. You know, you don't want anything cotton touching your body. You want something like merino wool, like you said, that's going to flick that moisture away from your body, because that's going to keep you warm. If not, you're going to be sitting there freezing, sweating to death, you know.
Yep, for sure. On those cold mornings, I walk in with about nothing on them in the mornings going in. And then once I get to the tree, I layer up. Being that I mostly saddle hunt, I try to put on most of my gear at the base of the tree, so that once I get up in the tree, I'm set. Gets a little difficult trying to dress and put more clothes on when you're tied to the tree in the saddle.
Yeah, for sure. So this one is kind of a loaded question, but what makes your company different than all the other ones out there? Because I know you got Mossy Oak out there, you've got Realtree, you've got Kuyu, Sitka, First Light, you know, even your Magellan from, you know, Academy Sports. Like, what makes your company unique?
So we're going to bring a high quality at a more affordable price, but that's something everybody's trying to do for the most part. One of the biggest things that's going to make us a little more unique than the others is I bring a different skill set to the table where it comes to putting it together and testing. With 5 combat deployments while I was in the Army, I think from being in the hottest places this world has to 12,000 feet in the mountains in Afghanistan in the snow, I think I got a unique skill set for what I know works and how to put it together. But more so than that, we're not a huge corporation, especially right now. So if someone's got a question in there on the website and they send an email, they're getting the email back from the owner of the company, not from some third party person. Or if they got an issue and they call and they leave a message, the owner of the company's calling them back rather than somebody who can't make a decision on the spot and is going to give them the runaround. So our customer service will be top notch. And if people have issues, we're going to take care of them.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's I think that's a big thing with hunters out there now, man. They're always looking for the best. Everybody wants the best of the best. And just because your product costs more than everybody else doesn't mean it's the bee's knees of everything. You know, just because you shoot a Benelli shotgun doesn't mean it's the best shotgun for somebody, you know, somebody else, you know. It's all trial and error stuff. You know, I always tell people, get what you can afford. You know, don't try to keep up with the Joneses and get sick just because all your buddies is wearing it and you're out there freezing to death trying to be cool and take pictures for Instagram, you know.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I mean, we've tried, like I've said a couple times, affordable, not cheap, but we've tried to build a system that we can accommodate every hunter out there. So that's whether you're a big person, a small person, whether where you're at in the economic class, like if you're someone who you're only buying a hoodie and some pants from Walmart and hunting a couple weekends a year, that's where we came and we added our carnivore hoodie to the mix. So it wasn't an initial thought for the system, but somebody that isn't going to spend $1,000 on camo to get completely outfitted, they can get a really nice pair of pants for $140 and $70 on a carnivore hoodie, and they got a quality gear that's going to last them for multiple seasons if they're just a weekend hunter. And they're not going to go to Walmart every year and buy a new pair of pants and a hoodie that might make it that year and they have to replace it. So we've tried to build it and make it so that no matter what type of hunter you are, you can afford to get in it, and it's going to last you once you get it.
For sure. I like it, man. I like it. So as a smaller company, a newer company in outdoor industry, as big as the outdoor industry is, you know, there's 1,000 companies out there trying to do the exact same thing that you're doing. Once your brand gets up and off the ground, you get some sales under your belt and everything like that, how do you think social media is going to affect your brand?
So social media is going to be huge. We're posting on social media daily almost, and trying to get better and more up to speed on it. So right now, as far as the website goes, we've got an IT person that's running the website. As the brand grows though, I foresee us having a social media person, but that's their daily. Because trying to keep up across three different platforms is about a third of my work for the day going into just trying to keep up, trying to learn the systems on each platform to where you can optimize it and get followers. But then we've also got our pro staff program. So we've got about 10 people signed up right now for pro staff that all are creators already and have their own social media following. So they'll be pushing, sharing our stuff. And then as they get outfitted with more gear, they're going to be videoing their hunts and they're going to be pushing out content also. So between social media and our outdoor expos, that's where we're going to get a lot of our followers coming from. So July, we're going to start hitting our outdoor expos again. We'll probably hit between 6 and 8 shows in July and August, from Virginia to Alabama, a couple in Georgia. We might make a trip out to Oklahoma. So just because those outdoor expos, social media is great, but in my opinion, the outdoor expos is where you grow the most, because a 3-day show, you're going to see between 2,000 and 10,000 people coming through that door. And one thing I noticed at the shows as an outfitter is everyone stops at every camo booth there is, whether it's a new company, whether it's Sitka, whether it's Realtree, they're going to stop and they're going to check out the new camo, put their hands on it. And compared to social media, compared to the website, they can feel it, they can try it on. And I think that's where we're going to make our money, really, as far as growing as a company.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why me and my wife, my son, we go to the NWTF convention every year in Nashville. And I don't need any more turkey. I don't need any more decoys. I don't need any more any of that. I go mostly just for the networking. Go there, you know, and like you said, every camo, you know, pattern or whatever that I see, I'm always stopping there to see it, to feel it, see what the new stuff is for, you know, because usually turkey season is kind of hot outside. It's not cold yet. So you're trying to find something that's kind of lightweight. It's not tying you down. It's not going to make you hot. It kind of wicks the moisture away from you and stuff like that. To keep you cool out there and not burn you up. So, and you can touch, like you said, you can touch it, you can feel it, you can see what, you know, what size you're probably going to need, what kind of material it's made of. Cause like you said, social media is great for all that, but you can't, with social media, a lot of times when you post something like a t-shirt or a pair of pants, like you don't know what material it's made out of. You don't know how it feels and stuff like that. And at these expos that you can actually feel it and talk to the person about it, see what size you need and everything like that, compare prices and everything like that. So I definitely understand that. I love going to those outdoor expos. They're awesome. And I always try to hit up, you know, all the big names, you know, they're going to make their money there, you know, but I always like to go in the corners of these places and get these guys that are just starting out, the smaller companies, just to see, you know, where they came from, how their innovation process goes, and, you know, get their cars. And, you know, eventually, like you, like me and you met at the gas station, and here we are, you know.
Yeah. And, Kentucky.
Yep. Little small town, Kentucky, man. And, you know, here we are, man. And yeah, I'm proud of you, man. Cause, you know, at least small, you know, as big as outdoor industry is, man, I tell people all the time, anybody that's trying to do anything in the outdoor industry, like, you got to have a lot of patience, to get where you're going. It's not going to be an overnight success. So it's going to take some years of grinding that out, to do it, man. And, you know, when you first told me that you were going to start your own clothing company, and I was like, man, I'm really excited to see. And then when you sent me those pictures, I was like, hey, he's got something, you know, he's got something here. And, so I'm excited to get it, man. Some of your biggest, your biggest challenges that you faced so far. Have you got any so far? Or are you still kind of?
Yeah. So biggest challenge probably, to top it off, which there was challenges before that, but in January I lost my business partner, so he passed away. So that was a shocker. Being that 20 years ago we had dreamt this up, and then we were finally making it happen. And he decided to exit the world prior to us really getting it going. So that was a hurdle, financially and emotionally, obviously. But one that I got over. You really find out that your circle's bigger than you think it is sometimes in hard times, because a bunch of people stepped up wanting to help. And then as far as the camo itself goes, outside of that, The biggest hurdle has been at times dealing with manufacturers. So even our manufacturer that's based out of the U.S., all their production's done outside the U.S. So you're working with someone on the other side of the world, trying to get them to understand what you want at times. And it doesn't always come the way you want it to come when you get it in the mail. So the first round on most of our items, our big ticket items, the sizes were jacked when we first got them. So partially my fault, partially their fault. So they asked for a sizing chart. I gave them a sizing chart the way that I would buy my clothes in the store. So a pair of pants, we go in, we look at the length, we look at the waist, we buy them. So that's what I sent them. Well, the pants show up. They're long enough. They fit around my waist, but my legs won't go in and past the knee because the leg hole's way too small. I mean, not even skinny jeans small. I mean, like toddler clothes small.
Oh, wow.
So I got those. I kind of got a little mad to start with. We had a meeting. And then it just came down to sending them for my size, sending them every measurement from how big around my thighs are, my calves are, my arms are, the whole nine yards. And then they came back with a much better product the second time. I mean, the first one was great. Quality was great. They were put together perfect. You just couldn't put them on. So it took a couple trial and errors. And once we got on the same sheet of music, it came together quicker. So I reached out to people of all different sizes that I knew or I could find and got their measurements. So we built our custom size chart, and now we're rocking and rolling.
That's awesome, man. That's how you got to do it, man. You know, you just got to reach out to people, and you know, I mean, they're all different sizes. You got small, medium, you know, big, extra large, yep. 3X, 4X, you know. That's awesome. But so hypothetical question here. So say 10 years from now, you're top three in camos. You got you got Sitka, you got, let's say, First Light or Kuyu or somewhere like that. What would be your approach to staying ahead of the competition in such a crowded space to keep you guys up in that top three range of the camo?
So the biggest thing is most brands just keep pumping out new product, new items. I don't know that that's the answer per se, because generally speaking, you're going to have your base items, and that's what people are going to buy mostly. Yeah, there's some specialty items, and there's some things I got ideas for when the budget's on the right side of the column on the spreadsheet, that'll add to the hunting industry. There's some items out there that really just aren't made yet, but continuing, not slacking on the quality, I think is the big thing. Keep the quality high, keep the price affordable. Obviously, as the economy goes up and down and our cost changes from time to time, prices may shift up or they may shift down some, just depends. But it's just staying relevant, I think. You can't, as you grow, you can't quit grinding. So as hard as I've worked and as hard as I have to work to get to be in that top three, if that time comes, you got to keep working that hard. I think some companies, once they get to the top, they kind of forget about that and forget about where it came from, and they kind of fall off. So remembering where you came from and how you got there, and then continue to listen to the customers. So if the hunting industry, if a lot of them are looking for this or they want these changes, then those are the changes you need to make, more so than just pumping out new gear. If everybody's happy with the type of gear you're putting out, I think you stick with what's working and you don't try to complicate it too much. There's always room to grow, though. I've got designs for hunting bags, both for the saddle hunter and the out west hunter. It's just they're not in the works quite yet, but we know how we want to make them. And then in the back of my head, there's the possibility of waders in the future to get more into the waterfowl. I mean, we've got jackets that are perfect, that are waterproof already, but the jumping into the world of creating waders is definitely something possibly in the future, but not for the present, for sure.
Dude, if you get into waders, man, I'm definitely down, man, because I've tried. Right now, I'm wearing banded waders, and I love them. You know, they fixed the whole leak problem that they supposedly had years ago, which I wasn't even thinking about duck hunting then. But the waders I have now, I love them. And, you know, everybody's trying to tell you, you know, this brand is the best, and this brand is the best, and this brand is the best, you know. But some of these brands that's out there, you know, you like your Sitkas and your Sheens and some of those, man, they're $1,000, $1,200.
Yep.
You know, and I'm like, I don't want to spend that much money just to try out, you know, some waders and find out that I don't like them or they don't fit me right, you know. So I think that's the the thing with most manufacturers, like you said, they just keep pumping out new material and they're not really listening to the consumer. You know, if the consumer tells you that they're looking for a certain thing or whatever, and then you pop out with something that's been done already, it's like, you know, come on, man, listen to us. You know, we're telling you this for a reason, you know, so always listen to the consumer, man. That's gonna definitely take you a step further than some of these other companies, man, for sure. So
yeah, it's one day at a time. I mean, we've listened to people as far as the creation of what we've got now. Obviously you kind of got to filter through that, because you can't make exactly what everybody wants, but we've definitely tried, where it comes to pockets and everything else, to put something together that's gonna work the best for the majority. For so sure. like the backpack I talked about, there's no one backpack that's perfect for everybody. It just doesn't exist. But I personally know there, nobody makes the backpack that's perfect for me. So as a saddle hunter that self-films, I carry quite a bit of stuff to the tree with me. And I've probably got 20 different backpacks in the hunting room down here, and none of them are the right ones. So I've drawn it up. I've in my head, I know what the perfect backpack for someone who saddle hunts and films is. But at the same time, that pack's going to work for about anybody that needs to go to the woods. So when we get to the point that we launch that thing, I'm pretty excited about that pack.
That's awesome. Yeah, I can't wait to see it, man. That's for sure. So I know me and you both are archers. We both love our bow hunting. And 2025... let's say till, you know, what was it, 1997, 98, you know, we've seen how drastic these bows have changed, from the limbs to the cams to the risers, to the technology that goes in the bows, where you don't have to have a bow press anymore for half, you know, most of these bows that are coming out now, to the arrows, to your rest, to your sights, your releases, everything has changed in the last 20 years. So how do you see technology playing a role in the future of the outdoor gear?
So I think we're going to continue to see it grow. Right now, I think one of the biggest technologies that's changing the game as far as patterns goes, isn't even something that we notice as far as the hunter goes. It's in the process of making the clothing. So the way that they can use sublimation printers to print these, it's making a flawless pattern where it's not gonna fade like our old hunting clothes and the way they were made. But material wise, I think it's going to be hard for them to beat some of the materials that are out there right now. Somebody's always trying to use something new to be different or to make it better. But I don't think there's a whole lot out there they can change to make the clothing better until someone, it's just who's got the best pattern that people like that actually works. And then who's willing to take the time to test the clothing and ensure that they're putting out the best product.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's just amazing to see, you know, when I first started hunting, man, you know, you had your Matthews, no cams and stuff like that. And now, man, it's crazy. Now they've got into, you know, your carbon bows and your magnesium bows, and I think they have a site out there now. I think Garmin makes it where you draw back your bow and it literally pops up a pin like where you're supposed to shoot the deer or elk or whatever.
Yeah. So it's a straight range finder built into your, There's a couple of them made. The Garmin one's the most popular. You literally, you put the dot on what you're going to shoot and hold it, and it'll put your dot right there in the middle for the yardage and everything else. I've shot one. I've never hunted with one. If you're hunting out west, I think in the plains that are wide open, like I know people that hunt in the timber with them, but I'm personally a little nervous to even attempt to hunt in the timber with one, just because if that laser, we've all done it with our rangefinder where you hit that branch you don't see, and yep, that throws off your distance. I mean, out in the wide open, yeah, it's a quick fix. Like the elk's at 85 yards, I pull up, push a button, it adjusts for me.
Yeah.
A lot of states out west are actually illegal to use too, but
yeah,
it is crazy to see the technology in these bows from and across all the manufacturers. But for me, I've pretty much always been a Hoyt person. I've had a Bowtech throughout the years, just because where I was stationed in the Army, that's the only bow shop I had at the time. But I've had a Hoyt from the mid-90s and until today, pretty much, minus like a three-year window, and just seeing the difference in just that one brand for what let-off used to be compared to what let-off is now,
yeah,
along with the cams and the amount of speed that you can get out of these bows is just crazy what they've done with them.
Yeah, it's insane, man. Like, I was having this conversation with a buddy of mine the other day. We were talking about those Garmin sights, and he's like, "Man, that's cheating." I was like, "Dude, think about it. When we're bow hunting, you know, I got a pack. I got a marsupial pack right here. I've got my binoculars, and I got my rangefinder here." I said, "What's the difference between me pulling my rangefinder out, ranging it, putting it back in, grabbing my bow, instead of just grabbing your bow, pulling back, and it's telling you where to shoot and giving you the yardage?" I said, "It's the same thing. It's just integrated all in one, where you don't have to take another, you know, you don't have to pack an actual rangefinder with you." Now, like you said, in the timber, where we hunt a lot of times here in Kentucky, there might be a branch or a little tree or a limb or something there that might say, "Hey, this deer's at 30 yards. When you're hitting that branch, and deer might be at 45 or 50. That's what you run into here. But like you said, those open plains, you really ain't got nothing there to worry about there. So, I mean, it's all personal preference. I feel like some of the older hunters, like I have conversations with a bunch of the OGs a lot, you know, there's like all the technology that we use now, you know, it's cheating, you know. But me, if I can do the best I can to take that deer down the best way I can and to harvest it as fast as I can, because we owe that to the animal, to harvest that animal as fast and put it down as fast as we can without it suffering, 100%. I'm down for it, you know.
I mean, I try not to get twisted over how somebody hunts. I think that's a big issue in our hunting community as it is, especially on social media, where everybody wants to down somebody for not shooting a big enough deer, or why'd you let your kid shoot that little buck? Like, if you're out there enjoying the outdoors and you're hunting and you're doing it legal, it's not my place to be a critic of how you're doing it. As long as you're doing it legally and ethically, I mean, I'm not gonna throw shame on anybody because they're using a certain sight, or because if that was the case, we're all cheating because we're not using longbows anymore.
Right. Yeah, I see. I met a guy, I think it was 2 years ago, might have been three, opening day rifle season here in Kentucky at the same gas station that I met you at. Older guy, I think he was in his 80s. I think he's passed away now, but I was... That morning, man, I was running late. I didn't have no gas in my truck. I'm pumping gas. I know I got all these gas fumes on me. I'm like, I'm doing this all wrong. I said, but I'm going to be in a blind. I should be okay. So the guy comes out. He said, "Hey, you know, how you doing?" I said, "I'm doing good." He said, "You going hunting this morning?" I said, "Yes, sir. How about you?" He said, "Yeah, I look forward to this day." He said, "This is my favorite day of the year." And I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Well," he said, "my wife passed away about 10 years ago." He said, "I'm in the house all by myself." He said, my kids live in another state. I forgot where he said it was, you know, 10, 12 hours away. He said, "This is my time to get out and just enjoy, you know, enjoy nature and harvest deer that I can feed. I don't have to worry about going to Kroger. I don't have to worry about going to Save-A-Lot, IGA, anywhere to get my meat. I can, you know, kill me a few does, skin them, put them in my freezer, and I don't have to worry about feeding myself." He said, "My wife usually, you know, she did all the cooking and everything like that." And like the way that he was expressing it, you know, and when you put it in that perspective, you know, that's the reason that we're out there. We're out there to harvest deer, to feed our families. You know, some, you know, you got some trophy hunters out there that, you know, just want to go after the big deer. But a guy like that, you know, he's at home lonely pretty much his whole rest of the year. But that day is like his day to get out there, get out of the house, you know, forget about, you know, his wife passing away. He's out there to harvest meat to feed him for the rest of the year, you know. And, man, he was – I mean, I about teared up just listening to him talk, man. He was like, "Man," he said, "good luck to you." He said, "if I can ever do anything for you." He gave me his phone number and everything. And I called him, like, later that evening. I said, "Hey, man, you doing any good?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I killed two doe this morning. I'm out here skinning them now." And I said, "You need any help?" He said, "No, I like doing this by myself. He just kind of gets me out of the house and stuff." And I think he ended up passing away last year, but – you know, it was one of those stories when you put it in that perspective, you know, it gets real, because Instagram makes it seem like, you know, you kill a small deer that somebody else wouldn't shoot, you get in the comments and everybody's bashing him for it. I'm like, dude, like, this deer got his adrenaline going enough where he wanted to take this deer. Let him shoot it. As long as it's legal, it's ethical, leave him alone.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Being in a tree, watching the sun come up or go down in the fall, that's my happy place. So, I mean, I choose to bow hunt primarily. Yeah, I'll take the shotgun duck hunting, or I've killed plenty of turkey with the bow too, but a lot of times I'll take the shotgun out turkey hunting. But if someone just wants to rifle hunt, then just go rifle hunt. But get outside, make those memories, and just enjoy the outdoors. And especially take a kid with you. I love taking kids out, because one, they're the future hunters. And for me owning a company in the outdoor industry, if there aren't no future hunters, my business ain't gonna last very long. The rest of us get old and quit buying hunting gear at some point. But just seeing a kid's eyes light up, even if they don't, if you take them deer hunting and they get to encounter some deer up close and personal, seeing the way their eyes light up, even if they don't get a shot at one, and just getting the kid outside, whether away from a screen, because there's way too many of them just behind a screen all day nowadays.
Yeah, for sure. Like my son, you know, he's into sports and stuff, and, you know, he's got his little Nintendo Switch, and, you know, he's got his iPad and stuff. But, you know, every day, usually when he comes home from school, he'll do his homework, he'll get on Nintendo for maybe 30 minutes or so, and then he's like, "Hey, Daddy, can I go outside and shoot my bow or shoot my BB gun?" Like, absolutely, let's go. Yeah. You know, you want to feed that habit, you know, and you know, I don't want to get to a place in my life where I get too busy and he's like, "Hey, Daddy, can we go outside and shoot?" And I'm like, "No, bud, I got work to do." I'm like, "No, I will stop what I'm doing at that time and we'll go outside and shoot the bow for as long as he wants to shoot it, you know." And I'm like, "Hey, bud, you know, these are quality shots. You're not just getting out here slinging arrows. Like, every arrow has a purpose. That's like, make sure your anchor's right. Make sure your feet's right, everything's right, and you make that shot." And he's like, all right, daddy. So he's got the whole process now, man, where I've got him at 20 yards, man. And he's pretty dead on. And I think I'm going to try to move him back to about 25 here sure shortly, but 20 right now, he's dead on. And he loves it. You know, he's at that age now. He wants to do everything daddy's doing, you know, and, you know, growing up, you know, I never thought that I'd be a father, because growing up, like, I did not like kids. Like, but man, when you have your own, you get married and have your own kid, man, and he, you know, starts wanting to do everything daddy wants to do, man, it's a feeling that you can't really put into words, man. It's awesome, and I love it.
It'll change you for sure. When we that's on our list today. Me and my daughter are going out to shoot. I've got to sight the bow back in. We've only got 5 days before we leave for Canada.
That's awesome, man. I hope y'all do some damage up here, man. Have fun. That's
the plan, and we'll have the cameras rolling, so it'll be more footage for sea deer, because we'll be rocking the sea deer and have the cameras rolling in the tree. So hopefully we can put down a big bear while we're up there.
All right, man. So what advice would you give someone wanting to start their own outdoor brand, whether it's clothing or duck calls, you know, turkey calls, anything? What advice would you give them?
So figure out your niche first. Figure out what you want to do in the hunting industry, obviously. So if that's calls, or if that's a new camo brand, or whatever you're trying to start, figure that out and perfect that. And as far as advice, look at your budget. A lot of people have a dream, but they can't follow through with it for one of two reasons. Either they run out of money because they didn't plan ahead on it, which puts you in a spot that really sucks. Or they find out that it's just more work than they thought it would be. So that's the big one. Make sure you're willing to put in the work. If you want to do it, don't half-ass it. Like, come up with your plan and don't stop until you make it happen. Way too many people get started. They run into that first hurdle, and then they're like, well, this is hard. I'm not going to keep doing this. So if it's worth doing, it's worth grinding through the hurdles and the obstacles to get to the other side, for sure.
For sure, man. That's awesome. That's great advice, actually. You know, a lot of people want to get into something, and I feel like they overdo it sometimes, or they don't have enough money to get into it, or they get into it halfway and it's like, oh, this ain't what I thought it was going to be. You know, you just got to plan accordingly, plan ahead, and, you know, just grind it out, because outdoor industry, it's a huge space. There's a lot of people doing what you're wanting to do. And if you really have a passion for it, you're going to stick with it, because it's not going to happen overnight. It's possible to happen overnight, but 9 times out of 10, it's not going to happen. So
100%, and don't close doors. So, I mean, you look, we started as a hunting outfitter, taking people on guided hunts, selling and making deer mineral, which wasn't a plan to start with. We were just going to be a hunting outfitter, but I had a deer mineral that I made for like 10 years and used, and that's all we used on the farms. So we figured out how to license it and sell it. But when you're getting started, don't close other doors, because now 4 or 5 years later, we're launching our camo brand, something we wanted to do 20 years ago. Just took us a while to get back to it.
For sure. So if you weren't running this company, what would you be doing, you think?
Well, so today I would probably be on my boat fishing on a lake. Just since retiring from the Army, like I'm doing this by choice. Money wise, I could be sitting around, or I could be still doing what I love to do, be out hunting or fishing. It's kind of how the outfitter started. Like, I retired, I needed a purpose in life, after doing one thing for 23 years. And we were in a place where we could start the outfitter, and we had good deer and we had good properties. So just kept that going. I'm not someone who could just sit around. I got to be doing something. So I just found a way to take something I love and make it my job. If I wouldn't run this company, I'd still be fishing and hunting. I wouldn't be working a 9-to-5 just because I don't have to at this stage in my life. But spending time with family hunting and fishing is what I'd be doing. And I just happened to pick a business where I still get to do that. So
that's good, man. That's awesome. Well, man, I appreciate you hopping on the podcast, man. I know it's Sunday and it's family day for a lot of people, you know. And, I know we had some storms come through Kentucky that tore up London and Somerset pretty good. So prayers out to all those people affected by those storms up there, man. I hope y'all bounce back and everything's all right up there. But if anybody wants to get a hold of you, Jason, or look up, you know, some of your gear or whatever, how can they get a hold of you?
So they can search Hunt Sea Deer on Facebook, Instagram, or on TikTok. But you can also go to huntseadeercamo.com. Go to the contact section and shoot us an email, and we'll get back with you.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I appreciate you. I can't wait to get some of this gear in my hands. I know you're right up the road from me now, so I need to come up there and put an order in and see exactly what I need to purchase. I definitely want some early season gear, and I definitely want some stuff that's going to keep me warm when it gets, you know, rifle season and on past that. So I'm really looking forward to testing some of that stuff out, man. But if there's anything that I can ever do for you, man, you got my phone number. I'm always here for you, man, if you ever need me, brother.
Yep, appreciate you. Let me know if you need anything also. And thanks for having us on the show.
No problem, man. This podcast will be out on Apple Podcasts, my personal YouTube page, and Spotify. Should be out in a couple of weeks, something like that. So make sure you guys follow along. I'll be posting some video clips of this podcast, just showcasing Jason and me. I'm trying to get some more followers for both of us and everything like that. But if you have any questions, just reach out to me, reach out to Jason and everything like that. Give us a like, give us a follow. Let's help out some of these smaller companies in the outdoor industry that are trying to get started. And if you really like them, you know, keep purchasing from them, keep buying from them. That's how we grow. Let's just help each other out. You know, we're all in the same game. We're all trying to do the same thing. So let's just help each other out as much as we can and not bash each other. So big game, small game, all game. We do this too.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network. And this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.